With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. The twigs and leaves in your backyard aren't exactly comfortable. And while mud does perfectly contour the feet, it doesn't score high on the durability front. But thanks to Allbirds, you can skip all the backyard experimentation. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff, like research and testing to create shoes from natural, sustainable materials. And their innovative processes mean using less of the bad stuff and more of the good, while making shoes unlike any other. Like the Plant Pacer, made with 100% plastic-free plant leather. The Tree Dasher, a running shoe made from eucalyptus tree fiber. And from sugarcane, they've made the Superlight, their lightest shoe ever by weight and carbon footprint. It's not rocket science. It's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're supernatural. Find your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
It's the boys in the better land, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Liverpool maintained their perfect start. Steve Bruce got his win, and Roy the Boy rides again. My name is Marcus Speller, Luke and Peter here, and welcoming the sexiest of them all back into the pod, it's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Jimmy's on the pod.
Jimmy's on the pod, everybody. Yeah.
Gone off Edinburgh, have we?
Yeah, well, fed up of it now.
Yeah, or have, yeah. Has Edinburgh gone off you?
A bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, it's great to have you back. It's great to have someone sat back opposite me.
Yeah, I am sort of slightly shell-shocked from the whole thing, as is the nature of the Edinburgh Festival. But I'm back now. So
you don't sound quite so unwell as you usually do.
Oh, I have been.
No,
yeah.
He sounds a little bit unwell.
Yeah, a bit reedy.
I've just noticed Marcus is using a power bank for his tablet. Hello.
Yes.
Ooh. Hello. Whoa. Where'd you get that bit of tech, mate?
Grandkids get you something nice, did they?
Silver Crest.
That
good
looks
name.
Like a freebie.
Good brand.
Is it a freebie?
No, it was a present. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, then a freebie, a literal freebie.
Well, no, because somebody bought it.
Yeah, so Santa, he turns up with all his freebies in his bag and gives them to all the boys and girls.
Okay. Just because Newcastle won doesn't mean to say you can come up with other giddy nonsense.
What's at the top of the running order? Is it Newcastle United or is it your beloved Crystal Palace?
It is my beloved Crystal Palace, apparently. Well, it's my beloved Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
Well, let's crack on with it. Well, actually, no, we're not going to crack on with it. Oh. I want to say that there was a lot of good goals scored in the Premier League and we just don't have time to cover them all. So a little shout out to Harvey Barnes, cool. Moussa Dineppo, Harry Wilson, and Ashley Barnes. We love you guys. Keep doing those great goals.
We haven't got time to fit all the goals in.
A lot happened.
There's too much VAR to talk about. And that is essentially what football is now.
Yeah, I know.
God, I really do think there needs to be some sort of like moratorium from the broadcasters on talking about it too much. Like, leave it. There's so many instances of it in the highlights on Match of the Day. It's like, you cut this out.
Just get that clip of the aforementioned Ashley Barnes laughing at Kovacic. You know when he just started like, just giggling at him because he give him a little push.
Yes.
Just have that clip. So every time somebody goes VAR, they go. He just goes.
Yeah.
I've got a.
See you now, innit?
I've got quite a hankering to see that fight, Ashley Barnes and Mateo Kovacic.
No, I reckon that I'd run.
I do as well. I think they're both tough.
I think Barnes would probably shade it for me.
Maybe. He might do. He might do.
Yes, exactly. Did you use VAR on your comedy set?
I think you're fine if you watch the video. That was funny.
do no want to watch that back?
Well, let's crack on then with Crystal Palace's win against Manchester United. Lovely win for Roy the Boy. He described it as a heroic victory. He's right, of course, Jim Campbell.
He is
right.
Yeah, I mean, watching the highlights, I expected Man United to have been a lot worse than they were. You know what I mean? Because they were fairly dominant, just absolutely allowed themselves to be sucker punched twice, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, they're always going to be dominant, aren't they, against it?
Well, you say that, but so often they, last season, quite often in particular, certainly under Mourinho, they just seemed a little bit disjointed. You know, like there wasn't much of a plan. They didn't know what they were doing. This seemed like sort of a little bit more of the old Man United, but with the results of the new one.
But do you think, though, with Solskjaer, I need to get that right because it's been rightly pointed out.
I think people find it quite entertaining, and they're quite affectionate towards you for it. When I announced that you...
I think that's very kind of you.
Well, no, when there's this sort of culty following on Twitter of people who like the way that you pronounce Solskjaer, as Solskjaer, I don't think people were complaining.
Okay.
So I think you should just embrace it.
Enjoy I'll mix it up then.
Yeah.
Enjoy the shushes.
Solskjaer. Solskjaer. Yeah, him, Ole. Obviously, when he played, when he got those wins at the start of his Manchester United reign, which seems a long time ago now, it was the counter-attacking style. You know, Gary Neville always used to say under Ferguson, counter-attacking style. But, you know, home games against Crystal Palace, you can't really play too counter-attacking, can you? You know what I mean?
You shouldn't need to.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah. But it doesn't help, though, when David De Gea is not quite at the races.
But the situation is, surely, the situation is that... Manchester United, and by the way, we can all in this room remember a time when the idea of Manchester United scoring in the 89th minute to equalise and then losing was very much the last bastion of the other team at Old Trafford, not this one. And it was a lovely goal by Daniel James, but Man United just aren't that good. You have to remember that. There's been a lot of positive highlights around them because people have decided that they've strengthened in the right areas. Aaron Wan-Bissaka's come in, Harry Maguire's come in, you know, one or two others, and Daniel James, of course, as we've already mentioned. These are players who will probably, hopefully, if all things being well and the recruitment's done right, they will go on to be successful after Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But that shouldn't be, this good feeling around that shouldn't be confused with the idea that Man United are suddenly good again, because they won three of their last 15 games, and they're Man United.
There was a wonderful, horrible stat on Twitter that somebody put out. Adam Johnson has more Premier League assists than Jesse Lingard in the last 6 years.
Right.
He's been in prison for three of them.
Yeah. Honestly.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Lingard is not a player that plays like, in front of the defence, for example.
No.
I said it on Twitter yesterday. I think Jesse Lingard is among the most overrated Premier League players in the last few years. His contribution level in terms of like statistics, I know there's the eye test as well, but in terms of statistics, it's woeful for a player in his position. It's absolutely woeful.
Well, he does seem like a player who was just, who was given a chance to see how it went, and then almost like, because there's been so much upheaval at Man United, like the judgment on that seems to have been forgotten. It's like, throw a young player in, see how well he does. And he's 27 now?
He'll be 27 in December.
Fuck off.
I know, exactly, right?
Jeez.
Exactly. He feels like one that's just gone under the radar a little bit. It's like,
get him out!
Exactly, yeah.
He's now 23!
Exactly, right? he became a bit of a lightning rod, didn't he, this summer, because that video of him just shouting beans, beans, beans when he was on holiday with Marcus Rashford. He seems like a clown. Obviously he's probably a lot of fun to be around.
I think he should just become a YouTube star.
Maybe that's in his future.
Lingard is obviously a decent player, but you're right, in terms of the stats do not go for him.
In all competitions for club and country, his career, 21 assists in total.
Yeah, he robbed that goal against the Netherlands, though.
Fine.
But still angry. But what you said there, Luke, a few minutes ago about Manchester United, it reminds me a little bit of Arsenal, probably... when did it, like Mikel Arteta, around that time when he joined the club?
Yeah.
And they made a lot of signings. Per Mertesacker came in. That sort of flurry of players, and everyone thought, now we've got some new faces in. Mikel Arteta's been a good player in the Premier League, one or two others.
You can go back to this summer for that.
You can. But it was at that time when everyone thought, Arsenal have finally signed a few players. They've addressed a few positions, like centre-half and that midfield position and blah-de-blah. And now we're going to kick on, Arsenal fans thought, and challenge for the title again. And of course, that didn't happen. Mm. And people kept getting annoyed, going, no, hang on, we've made these signings. We're Arsenal. What is happening? And it may well have been Ian Wright, but certainly a prominent ex-Arsenal player said, you're looking at the shirts and you're not looking at the faces in the shirts.
Yeah.
And at Manchester United, Daniel James is a good young player, but he was playing in the Championship at Swansea last season. Scored a lovely goal, of course. It's early days. Harry Maguire has never played for a huge club or you know.
No, he hasn't.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
But obviously he's a very good player. Aaron Bissaka, you know, had a great season last season, but he's still a little bit green and still needs to learn a bit there. But you can't expect, even if he was a world-class right-back, a right-back tends not to kind of pull a side up by its bootstraps and help them push on and win the title. So
look at the goal that Man United conceded, Marcus. Well, the AU goal. I mean, you know, Maguire, obviously it wasn't technically Maguire's fault, but I mean, Lindelof's got to win that.
Well,
he has to win that.
He's out-muscled far too easily from, was it Schlupp who...
Yeah, Jeffrey Schlupp.
You know, it's not like it's, you know, big Andy Carroll with a flick on, you know, and you just think, well, he's half a foot taller than me or something, you know. It was so soft and they struggled to break him down, and it was a great goal from Daniel James. But I think with Manchester United fans, yes, or you know, you don't want to sort of dampen people's optimism and all that kind of stuff, but that whole, well, we're Manchester United, we'll play the old way, we'll play the, you know, blah, blah, blah. They've got some good players, but they are still way off Man City and Liverpool.
And the cycle goes so quick because they go away to Southampton next, then there's the international break. And after the international break, they're at home to Leicester. And if it's obviously it's more scientific than this, but if Crystal Palace can beat Man United at Old Trafford, Leicester certainly can, because Leicester are a good team. So
Harvey Barnes whacking him in like that.
This time next month, it could be a really tricky time for Solskjaer.
Somebody tweeted rather recently that Maguire runs like he's answering the phone while wearing a towel. And he's actually running. It's all bottom of the.
It does a bit.
It's on lower leg.
Like
I can
that.
See that.
But Palace, though, Gary Cahill made his first start for
Palace. Did they win the game, Marcus, in your opinion?
They defended well and took their chances.
They scored two goals.
Well, they did. I mean, one thing under Hodgson, which it doesn't work for the big clubs, Liverpool fans will testify to that, and perhaps England fans as well. Obviously, not a club, but, you know, a side with better players than he's probably had at his disposal for most of his career, barring Inter. He gets the shape right. You know, Hodgson drills his players on shape. They know their jobs. And with a performance like that, you've got to get a bit of the rub of the green, of course. Mm. But they know what they're doing. I mean, the first goal is just so route one. And if that doesn't go in, how does the game play out and so on? But to go up the other end and get a winner, that shows you, because Manchester United are pushing and they think, here we go, we've got a last-minute equaliser, old Manchester United, there's the feeling, there's the whole thing that we want. And they leave themselves open at the back and Palace sucker punch them. And people said De Gea it was a howl. I wouldn't say it was a howler, but he will have wanted to have saved it.
A whistler, maybe.
Yeah,
certainly. It's not...
He's got to save it, but it's not making a Danny Baker VHS.
It isn't. No. But of course, you know, Rashford misses a penalty, so the Palace had a little bit of luck there. It was the width of the post that saved them. So
isn't football so funny for that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
All the chat around it all week has been about this penalty-taking thing and how it should be sorted. Yeah. And then Solskjaer comes out and says, right, it's definitive now. Marcus Rashford is our penalty taker and he misses the penalty. It's absolutely insane how football goes like that sometimes.
It certainly is, yeah. But a great win for Palace nonetheless. Liverpool beat Arsenal 3-1. They, of course, maintain their 100% start. Do the Reds. Now, I said on the preview show that would this be a reality check for Arsenal? And Luke pointed out quite rightly, well, even if they lose the game, it doesn't necessarily mean a reality check, because I don't think Arsenal fans are thinking challenging for the title this season. But you know, what did you make of it, Jim? Liverpool was, you know, fairly comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it wasn't a sort of embarrassing battering like last season, so that, I mean, that's obviously a low bar. But I, you know, Liverpool haven't lost at home in a long time, have they? It's very, very difficult to beat them there. So there were a couple of frustrating moments. So like Nicolas Pepe should have scored, obviously.
Which
with that chance
he chances
had.
Early
yeah.
on, eh?
Exactly. Yeah. If they put those away, that Aubameyang one, which is obviously very, very tricky shot, despite it being a pretty much an open goal. But yeah, I feel like, you know, had either of those gone in, then it might have been a little bit different. But the thing is, Liverpool are very, very ruthless, aren't they? And
Salah's in that form,
yeah, absolutely.
Come on,
yeah. And we also knew that this was part of the package when you signed David Luiz. You're probably going to get a couple of those like kind of more rash decisions in a season here and there. So hopefully that one's out of the way. but yeah, it was.
Do you know on the mention of David Luiz, Miguel Delaney in his piece at the Independent, he made a good observation and perhaps others have observed it before, that David Luiz deals in one-to-one duels with other players. He doesn't deal with sort of the zonal stuff and so on. So he will go, right, it's me against you. And you sort of forget, yes, but there are other attacking players that will come into the fray. And sometimes he's a bit like that because the argument is he's not really a centre-half.
Yeah.
And against Salah for that second goal, you can see that where he kind of goes in and Salah just goes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And he's off. What a goal it was.
It was a brilliant goal. And I think Liverpool, I mean, those three goals they scored were within about 16, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And that will tell you everything you need to know about Liverpool. They can do it so quickly and before you know it, the game's gone from you. Luiz, he's just erratic.
Yeah.
I was chatting to Brassel about it. Maybe he'll go into detail on it tomorrow on Jules and Andy, but if it comes up, but he was saying, because I was saying that for me, I read Miguel's piece, by the way, but for me, I was thinking off the back of that, he's better in a three because he's the extra man. Yeah. He can conduct attacking.
He's got that safety.
He's got the ability to deal with it, right? But then Andy was saying, well, he played in the two under Emery at PSG and he was decent. He's just erratic sometimes. Mm, maybe, as Jim's already said, it comes along with the territory with him. But we should follow up from what we said last week about Ceballos, by the way, who looked like a little boy lost against Liverpool at Anfield. Now, I know he's not the first great player to have that happen to him, but we did say on this show last week, don't get carried away.
Yep.
The teams he's played against, he should be bossing it.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And he found it very tough at Anfield.
Definitely. I mean, you know, against, you know, in the first couple of games, Arsenal had a lot more of the ball than they had at Anfield, I would expect. I've not looked at the stats, but that's obviously, you know, Liverpool going to just make it a lot harder than teams that are happy to let you have the ball. So that is obviously a very real test of what you can bring.
And they are a bogey team for Arsenal. Let's make that very clear.
And a lot of other teams.
Like, yeah, but like 15 goals in like the past
3 or 4
seasons.
Games. Yeah,
Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool are our bogey team. Yeah. No, I know what you mean though. You're right.
But like they ship goals like nowhere else.
They do.
They've got a number.
One thing that's really interesting that gives you the gap between the French league and the English league, by the way, was Pepe's performance. I watched Pepe for Lille a bit last season because we did on the continent. He was fantastic. Standout player in the division, probably. I never once noticed how one-footed he is. Mm. And in one game at Anfield, I noticed it about 10 times. And that's such a limitation at top level when you're playing against really top defenders every week. Mm. And I think the chance you alluded to there, Jim, if he had a right foot, it's a different story, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. Little Torreira got a consolation, though. Gary Neville said it was a big goal for Arsenal psychologically.
Yeah, I'm a little confused by that. Because is it really so massive? I mean...
Well, Neville's whole kind of narration around the game was that Arsenal got nothing to worry about. Liverpool just a really good team and Arsenal applied themselves really well. I found a little bit patronising on behalf of Arsenal fans.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the post-match team talks when he managed for those few matches were like, look, that goal was psychologically very important. We'll take that in the next game.
In that 7-1 defeat.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
7-0. Cumulatively.
At 7-0 I'd have walked, but 7-1, you've kept me in the
I'd rather lose 7-1 in the Liga than 15-0 in the Premier League.
But would you rather win 1-0 at Tottenham Hotspur's ground or lose 3-1 away to Norwich City?
See what he's done there, Pete.
Yes. Let's talk about it, Petey.
Well, they moved it for Sky. I would have gone, but I was working, which is very nice.
Let's not make this about you.
It is about me.
Okay.
Why are you asking me then?
An enormous win.
Why every time Newcastle comes up, everyone looks at me with a big smiling, poo-eating grin?
Yeah.
Going, what's Peter got on us?
Well, all right. Jim, what did you think of Newcastle? Crying out loud, man, they've won a game. It's huge result. Away to Spurs, an enormous win for Bruce's boys. And Steve Bruce, in response to all the criticism he received last week, said, I have managed 900-odd games over 20 years. You would think there would be some respect.
Yeah, don't point out your record, Steve. That's the last thing you want to do in the Premier League.
Have a bit of respect, mate.
Yeah,
he's masterminded a 1-0 win at Tottenham Hotspur.
To be fair to Steve Bruce...
He's dug that out.
By all accounts, he's a lovely man, which I understand is not the point. But to be fair to him, he's had to deal with some stuff this week that said he literally couldn't take a warm-up properly. which I think is an absolute embarrassment.
Why is he getting involved, though? Why is he reacting to it?
Well,
it just seems to be, I mean, he's
what a nonsense point.
What do you mean? Why is he reacting to it?
Because he's saying that over 20 years of being a manager, he's been hugely disrespectful of people in the press don't know any better, which is a perfectly reasonable response.
But why is he responding in the press? Why isn't he just like...
He answered the question in the post-match interview.
No, pre-match he was going on about.
I think it was on the Friday when they do a lot of the press.
It's a press conference, right?
Exactly, so that's why. Someone's asked him a question or something. But also, when you're saying, why has he reacted... We might just be a bit pissed off.
Can I also say,
he has gained promotion a number of times from the Championship. Now, I know that doesn't translate into wins in the Premier League.
No, it literally doesn't, Marcus. Right. Looking at his record, it doesn't.
Might be handy for next season, though.
As we said.
His record away against the traditional Big Six in the Premier League, he's got a 3% win record.
Yeah, look, we talk about the old Brucey bonus and all that, but to suggest he can't take a wall back, like, there's criticism.
That's why.
And there's other criticism. Exactly
right. I'm struggling to see how he's going to perform against Manchester United this season. Well, the state they're
in. Well, that is a low bar, isn't it?
Well, at least you're enjoying the win.
you are unbelievable.
No,
Peter.
You're talking about. I'm giving you a reaction to what was said in the week, and I'm saying, why is he getting involved? I don't think he necessarily needs to be involved. He can just move on. They've had a fantastic win in really difficult circumstances, quite intense circumstances. I thought the defending it was
heroic.
It was certainly heroic, but he didn't deviate from the back five, which I genuinely thought he would do, because they look completely lost against Norwich. To be fair, I think Spurs look completely rudderless. They couldn't really break down Newcastle, and they were just limited to, you know.
But that's to the credit of the way Bruce set his team up.
30 yards out.
But I mean, you know, the Spurs would have had, you know, the lion's share of the possession. But Bruce realises, and there's this trend in the league nowadays where teams go away to bigger teams and they think, right, well, you have the ball and we'll defend. Yeah. That's what they have to do. That's why you see these huge stats, you know, in terms of possession. Jonathan Wilson's wrote very well on that indeed. But Newcastle, you know, I mean, Paul Dummett was, you know, what a performance from him. Well, but he took out Jonjo Shelvey and he put in a more solid midfield that you played with the shape and the system and so on. And they've grounded out a brilliant result. They took their chance. I mean, lovely ball. Was it from Atsu? To Joel Linton? What a pass.
Well, Joel Linton was involved in the start. The match of the day highlights didn't show the whole movement, which is really satisfying for me. I think Joel Linton touched it twice before he actually legged it into the box for the goal. Or close to the box anyway, but it was a good finish.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And I thought they did pack the box. I thought Newcastle spent a lot of the time in the 18-yard box, but I think the start of the match, Joel Linton actually cleared the ball almost off the line with a defensive header off a corner, and he did that twice. And I thought, oh god, this is going to be a horrible day at the office.
that's really encouraging, because for in the modern day Premier League, those type of strikers need to be good defensively as well at set pieces. And if the top sort of Premier League strikers from down the years, a lot of them are very, very good in both boxes. Like, Kane's good at it, Drogba was really good at it. So it's important to do that as well.
But if I was a Spurs fan, I'd be very disappointed.
Well, Spurs need, to be perfectly frank, they need a reality check.
Yeah.
Because they're now going to be playing against teams who come to their stadium and they're not going to try and open them up. They're not going to open up themselves.
Yeah.
And Spurs were always, obviously, as we know, seen as a bit of a light touch, and teams would go at them. I remember couple of teams getting some, you wouldn't fancy getting some decent results at the old White Hart Lane.
They've always struggled with that.
But now they have to find out and work out a way of breaking down teams who make it tough for them. And they were so predictable. But even to the point, what you normally see with top teams doing this at home, when teams are sort of shutting out shot, is they move the ball really quickly side to side. And the teams who move it fast, like Man City, for example, they tire that team out, they get dragged out of position, and they find space. It was so unimaginative. It was unbelievable. I bet Steve Bruce couldn't believe his luck.
But that's why I'm not getting carried away by the win. It was a narrow victory, and I thought Winks was the only player who seemed to look like he had any sort of clarity of vision. Should have probably been a penalty as well.
That was a fortunate one, perhaps.
That was a definite pen. I cannot see, and Pete, you touched on this when we were talking about on WhatsApp earlier. I think it's a really important point. Mike Dean gives that last season all day long.
He doesn't want to prove wrong.
Exactly. Absolutely.
The ego manifests itself in a different way. He doesn't want to be proved wrong. He doesn't want to make the call when it might be ruled out. It's a weird situation.
So he's basically saying, I want to be the centre of attention, but on my own terms.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I did worry last week when we spoke about VAR and how it was overshadowing Mike Dean. Deanie finds a way.
Yeah,
Deanie finds a way.
You should never have worried about that.
I just enjoy the fact that Lascelles looks like he just gives up and goes, I'm going to eat this ball.
That's what you want for your centre half.
You literally don't want any of that.
Of course you do.
He fell over.
Yeah, but diving to stop the striker from scoring, that is the commitment that you want. I mean, John Terry-esque.
John Terry got a lot closer to the ball.
John Terry was a far better player.
Is that why it wasn't considered a penalty? What, because he was deemed to have fallen over? I'm still a little confused
as to what the reasoning for not giving it was.
I think
Harry Kane sort of leaned into the foul more than, because the ball was on his side, and I think if anything, this is teaching us that strikers need to try and make a genuine attempt to mm-hmm. retain possession of the ball and then go down, rather than just lean into the mm-hmm. proposed foul and go down. So I think that was presumably what I don't know who the person was in the truck, but
the problem is it's accountability, but accountability without actual accountability, because we can all watch that and go, that's a pen, right? And most of us think it's a penalty, and you can come up with some sort of weird reason why it isn't based on conjecture, because you're not given the actual explanation,
like Alan Shearer.
But the point is, well, I think Graham Souness did as well,
right?
But the point is that if you are going to take it to another official and look at it on a video in slow-mo and show everyone that slow-mo and then not do what is obvious to pretty much everyone watching as per the laws of the game, you need to explain that, because otherwise it just gets more frustrating. It doesn't actually solve any problem.
Yeah.
And if you move from referees getting 93% of decisions right to 95% of decisions right, but there's no explanation on the ones they still inexplicably get wrong, I mean, is it worth it?
No. Speaking of technology, Robbie Keane using the Sky Sports iPad.
Oh, I didn't see this. Tell us about this.
Oh, it was. You know, remember Guy Gormer when he's on BBC? I am confused. It was Robbie Keane was trying to explain what was happening with the defensive line of Spurs when Newcastle scored the goal, and he was trying to just jabbing at it with the stylus, and he was just getting really confused, and he's trying to talk at the same time, but he's kind of concentrating. So when the striker goes in. And it's just a man going stab. He needed a water break halfway through.
Do you reckon he's had time to rehearse that?
I presume he's had some kind of information as to how to conduct himself in front of a piece of technology. Yeah,
because one thing you do not do is you do not panic.
No.
And you do not say things like that about a man like Robbie King Peter. Alright, let's go for a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Ramble of Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Over to Luke Moore.
Don't forget to come see us live, ramblelive.com. The Football Ramble is going on tour. There's plenty of fun things planned. We're probably coming to a town near you in England, and we're coming to a town near you probably in northwestern Europe and Scandinavia, and hopefully to a town near you in the US. Tickets are available in Europe and England on ramblelive.com. a lot of the venues are selling out pretty quickly, so I'm just kind of giving people a reminder to get in there and get your tickets now to avoid disappointment. It should be lots of fun. So that's ramblelive.com. I should also give people the Betway 4 to score results from Friday's show.
Yeah.
It won't take long.
No.
Betway.com/4 to score, of course, free to play for a chance to win up to £250,000. Game one was Jim, Roberto Pereira. That was a no.
Nope.
Pete had Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang in Liverpool Arsenal. That was a no. Mm-hmm. I had Raheem Sterling in Bournemouth Man City. That was a no. And Mark has completed the quadratric hat trick with a Harry Kane shout in Tottenham's Newcastle, and that was also a no. So far, 12 selections, 0 out of 12.
We went very route one, though, I thought.
But I also would say that I'm fairly certain that for the first 3 weeks of the season, no one playing has won it.
Ooh, wow.
So it's not us who's given it a go.
Mm. Okay, cool.
I'm failing.
All right, let's turn our attention to Pete Donaldson and his emails. You email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. Any thoughts, Jim?
Big fan. Big fan. I've enjoyed the reactions to it as well.
Yeah. Ben has got in touch. Hello, Pete and the Ramblers. I'm right. Just a quick one. 2 weeks in a row, I've been left frustrated, not infuriated, by Mr. Moore saying, have your say for a chance to win 250 grand when referring to the Betway for a score challenge. I'm sure you'll all agree that it would sound so much better as have your say for a chance to win 250k. Because
it rhymes. All right, I'll rhyme it next time. Pete, a few people have asked me on Twitter this week,
right,
is the email jingle going to be included in the live shows in some capacity?
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. For an hour?
Yeah.
On loop?
With a band. Band.
Get the band going.
Thank you, Ben, for that email. What else have we got? Connor. Hello, Connor. Off the back of Paulo Sousa's Bordeaux having an indifferent start the season and Will Hughes's spectacular miss against West Ham this weekend. Oh. Are the good people at Ramble HQ at all concerned about the people interviewed on the Ramble Meets pod, whether they're subjected to bad luck, extreme bad luck in the weeks following their podcast appearance? If so, is anyone looking after Alan Kirbishley?
Yeah, well, that's a fair point, because Will Hughes, that's one. It looked probably a little bit easier than it was on first glance, but at the same time, he still should have put it away. Mm. Made worse by the fact that in the interview, he said he wants to try and add more goals to his game this season. Yeah. Paulo Sousa, has had a bit of an indifferent start at Bordeaux. But Andy Brassel, whenever I say that to him, he always says to me that he interviewed someone for At The Match last season.
Yeah.
And from the week later, they went on the most ridiculous scoring run they've ever been on. So he reckons he's even, one on one.
Lovely. Finally for now, Jack, Toon fan living in Norwich, long-time Ramble listener, first on the email. I couldn't resist the chance to let you know that 90s soap legends Dean Gaffney, aka Robbie Jackson, and Michael Beppe DeMarco Greco.
Yeah.
Michael Greco?
Yeah.
We were found in the home end at last weekend's Norwich versus Chelsea match at Carrow Road. Robbie and Beppe, because let's face it, that's basically they call them.
Yeah.
They're both Chelsea fans and were jumping and clapping every time Chelsea scored. After several fan complaints, they were promptly evicted at halftime by stewards and not seen for the rest of the match.
Gaffney!
I quite like the fact that they're still hanging out together after all this time.
I think so.
Friendships last forever, even if active jobs don't.
Very much so.
I like the fact that Dean Gaffney looks a bit like David Gandhi, the model.
Do you think?
In a Hall of Mirrors kind of thing.
In a Hall of Mirrors kind of thing, yeah.
I heard a story that Beppe DeMarco had basically just been, since EastEnders, has just been living in LA, trying and not necessarily succeeding.
Bit fucking rich, Mr. Edinburgh, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Jim never moved to Edinburgh.
He moved for a month.
All right, fair enough. Well, you've neatly linked that into Norwich versus Chelsea, of course, Peter.
Jingle.
I was trying to get away with it.
All right, yeah. Jingle.
Go on. Bit louder.
Pardon? What did you say?
He said a bit louder.
It's been a
while. Since the Football Ramble toured, so come see the Football Ramble live.
There's your thing.
That's better.
Thanks very much.
Isn't
it?
Yeah.
Ah, there it is. Norwich lost to Chelsea in an entertaining game at Carrow Road. Frank Lampard's first win as a Premier League manager.
Yeah.
How about that, everybody?
Much needed.
Tammy Abraham, come on.
Yeah.
Very pleased for him.
Very pleased.
Two very good goals as well.
Took him very well, didn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. He needed that.
He did.
And I think we all did, in a way, Jim.
They needed it more than we did.
Okay. And he needed more than they did.
Indeed, yeah. But yeah, Abraham and Mount being the goal scorers is positive signs for the Lampard regime, isn't it?
Yes. It is.
but they still look a bit soft, don't they?
Do. So soft.
Yeah.
Abraham on the Mount sounds very biblical, doesn't it?
It does.
it's like a story.
I like that.
Bible story.
Yeah. Well, Todd Cantwell scored for Norwich. He's a good player. He came through the academy there.
He has the hair of another era.
Yeah, that's what you mean.
I don't quite understand how to truly articulate how I feel about his hair, but it just, it doesn't look like any other footballers in the Premier League. I'm thinking maybe 90s.
Okay.
Maybe sort of like...
It's got a bit of 90s crossed with a bit of sort of 1940s fighter pilot.
Yeah,
well,
it's definitely an older man's hairstyle, but it's an older man from another generation.
Yeah.
Very thick.
And I think...
He's had sea salt spray in there.
Yeah. He's had loads of hair plugs. Mm. But his mates have like...
I don't think he's had hair plugs. I think he's only 21.
Well, exactly.
When you mentioned about Chelsea being soft, of course they won the game. We should at least acknowledge that. But they look so bad without the ball. Mm. Then you bring someone like Buendia into play, who has a bit of a lovely old time because he gets loads of opportunity, and he was able to create a bit of havoc, really.
Yeah, I think
and against a team probably better than Norwich, who have started fairly well, to be fair.
Well, yeah, I think Chelsea that you know wins win and all that, and good to get the first one of the season, and they've had a tough time at Old Trafford as well and whatnot. So yes, get the win and obviously Lampard, new manager and all that kind of stuff. But I am surprised at how soft they look. I know that they've got Mount and Abraham in there, but I think Mount's done pretty well so far.
Yeah.
You know, they still have some of the old guards. You've still got, Azpilicueta at the back. Mm. You've still got, the proper keeper in there. And
I think they look a different team without Conte and without Rudiger. They're both very important players.
They are.
And neither of them played against Norwich.
But Conte was there against Leicester, wasn't he? And
I think Leicester are better than people think, though.
No, I didn't know. We've talked up Rodgers and Leicester. I think it was an excellent fit. But they looked a bit soft. You know, really, Leicester would probably thought, we could have maybe won that game. So I don't know. I know it's Lampard, and I know he will be given a bit more time, and he should be given a bit more time. And I don't want anybody to start putting undue pressure on somebody, but they are going to have to sort that out pretty soon because a couple of goals against Norwich, it could have been more the results and the performance. It's going to have to click soon, if you see what I mean. Mm. It's an obvious thing to say.
I wonder what the expectations are realistically, though, and what they've offered him as an acceptable season.
What do you think is an acceptable season for Chelsea? Top six?
Yeah, I think so. Given the circumstances, I think so. Yeah, I would say so. Honestly, I would. This is a team that's finished down there in recent years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, what, they finished 10th on the Mourinho, something like that.
Oh, blimey, I forget.
It wasn't in the top six, put it that way.
Yeah, right.
So I think it's a very competitive division this season, and it would involve them bucking a trend of that club, a trend that, by the way, has delivered ridiculous amounts of trophies. And we've said before, par for Lampard, just based on the Abramovich era, they roughly win one trophy a season on average. So par for him will be winning a trophy. But I wonder if they'll apply slightly different parameters to him for this.
Yeah.
But the thing they're not getting right is their vulnerability to the counter-attack based around their poor performances without the ball. And against better teams than Norwich, they're going to get pumped. I'm telling you.
But when we highlight some of these sort of younger players coming in, it's, as I say, it's only a couple. But those younger players, you know, they've got energy. So if you want to defend from the front with Tammy Abraham, he's very mobile forward. You can do that.
I was pleased for him purely because I'm a bit of a fan of Giroud, and I think he offers them a lot that people don't really notice. And I know Abraham's goals came against ex-championship opposition in Norwich, you've just been promoted, but the way he took his goals was very, very confident.
Yes. Yes.
And you hope that some of the adversity he's been given over the last week or so, which has been absolutely unacceptable, by the way, has maybe galvanised him and further motivated him and given him strength. And I hope he's taken strength from it, because that would be a really positive outcome. And I'm really pleased for him. I think he
absolutely
he was fantastic.
Yeah, another go for Pookie, of course, on for top scorer. Yeah. Glad.
So well, Ashley Barnes has got something to say about that.
Well, those two finished top scorers.
That'd be great.
It's unlikely, though. Aguero did get two, lest we forget.
Yeah.
Watford lost at home to West Ham. West Ham were their first win of the season. Watford have lost 3 out of 3.
It's the one club you don't want to go on any kind of run, losing run. You can go on a middling run, fine, but just don't lose a few in a row because they do rotate managers.
Probably got maybe another 45 to minutes. Turn it around.
Are Watford's is that strategy of Watford to rotate the managers?
It's a managerial vending machine.
When we say rotate the managers, it's very much get rid of one and get ahead another.
Well, maybe they'll be proved right. Yeah.
Well, they'd be proved right though, because Gracia obviously is outstayed his stay.
Yeah.
Some people in the club might suggest, and here he is, lost 3 out of 3. It's bad, but he's going to be under pressure
and they're also on a ridiculously bad run from last season as well. Yeah. And they lost the cup final 6-0. All right, it was against Man City.
Still,
but the end of last season, they ended very badly, and people were saying, "I've got one eye on the cup final, all the rest of it." And they've started this where they've left off. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be terrible to lose 1-0 away to Everton, you'd think. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. But to lose at home to Brighton 3-0 on the opening day.
Yeah.
Okay, opening day.
Well, I thought that was maybe an anomaly, but it's maybe not looking so.
No, exactly. Yeah. They've got Coventry in the cup midweek, I think.
Cool.
I mean, who would embarrass themselves against Coventry, at home? You wouldn't find my team doing that.
Yeah, absolutely not.
and poor old Will Hughes, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Your mate Will Hughes.
Well, we're not mates, but...
Well, not now, you're not.
No, I'm toxic.
You were before the start of the season.
Yeah.
Sebastian Allaire got his first goals in the Prem. Second one, an overhead kick. Mm. Oh, that's the stuff. Yeah. People saying, have West Ham actually found a forward that's going to... work.
Sebastian Amir.
Absolutely.
Mm. He's been living out of cardboard boxes, and he's got a heavily pregnant wife, apparently.
Still banging them in.
Is that right? My goodness, yeah. So, yeah, exciting times for West Ham. They got their win. All right, let's go down to the Championship. Leeds and Swansea both won 3-0. They're top of the table. Impressive starts. Steve Cooper's reign has started very well at Swansea after they lost Graham Potter to Brighton, of course.
He's a very interesting guy, Steve Cooper. Mm-hmm. I think he's about our age.
He's a young guy.
Into late 30s, and he was the coach when England won the Under-17s World Cup.
He was.
But it's funny because he's Welsh, obviously, and I think he's very at pains to state that he's a very proud Welshman at every opportunity. Mm-hmm.
Did he say that after the final, at the Under-17s?
Yeah. Can I just grab the mic?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
It's a great day for Wales too.
Exactly, yeah. No, but he has done really well. I think this is his first number one job at a big club, I think. What? He looks old.
Like a lovely picture of him.
He looks really old in that picture, doesn't he? I think he's 39.
Isn't that incredible?
All right. Yeah. He doesn't look as young as you,
He's
Luke.
Been in management for too long.
He doesn't look as young as me, but he's achieved a lot more.
Yeah, true enough. But yeah, just good starts, and your tip for Leeds going up, still looking good.
Well, it's not exactly a big shout, is it?
No. He thought it was. We do.
I think they'll do it. Yeah, I think they will.
No. I think Forrest are going to be up there.
Well, great win for Forrest against Fulham. Yeah. Tell you
what. Oh, Sammy Amy.
He was playing.
He's become like a kind of bit of a YouTube
sensation.
A YouTube love.
All right.
Like just people clipping out bits of him, like just rinsing. He does have the power to rinse. I love a bit of Sammy.
There's the power to rinse, does Sammy.
I love him.
Well, obviously, you know, I was at the game and I was unhappy to see Fulham lose, but that first goal for Nottingham Forest is one of the goals of the season so far.
So early in the game as well.
It was 3 minutes in or something. Yeah. Superb move in which all 11 players got a touch of the ball. And I'll tell you what, if you come to Fulham and you play Fulham at their own game, the home of tiki-taka, then you just got to applaud, you know.
And if you are going to play that kind of football and everyone's going to touch the ball, and three of those players are going to be Carl Jenkinson, Michael Dawson and Sammy Amiobi,
you
deserve 3 points stuck under your belt. Absolutely. Back home.
Nottingham Forest OBE, does it work?
Yeah.
Michael Dawson, though, he kept Mitrovic quite largely. Mitrovic did score late on, but it turned out to be a consolation. But yeah. Forrest, we were talking to a friend of the Ramble, Tom, who's a Forest fan, and he was very worried about this game because obviously Fulham have been pretty good.
Barcelona of the Championship once again.
Yeah, and of West London. Let's extend it to that.
Oh, Marcus, you've done well there, because I think people would have been upset with you had you not mentioned this game based on the nonsense we had to put up with last week.
Well, it wasn't nonsense, was it?
Pete?
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Hey, 83% possession.
It's actually 84.4.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
Thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
I mean, Fulham had, I think...
had 77.1.
Yeah, this
Saturday.
Time around.
Didn't help them, did it?
Yeah, I know. That's it. If you... I often worry when Fulham have less than 80% of the ball.
isn't the Riverside stand getting...
it's getting redone.
Getting redone.
Yeah. They're That's moving it out into the river.
Yeah, floating stand.
No, they are. They're moving it out into the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Above the river.
Yeah. They're not going to be sat on like Lilos, are they?
Well, it's Fulham.
Yeah, true. Nice. Maybe under the Al-Fayed regime, they might have been.
How dare they encroach on the nation's Thames?
Nation's Thames?
Yeah. How dare they encroach on the river?
Yeah, yeah.
Owner Khan has said, if you won't let me buy Wembley, I'm literally going to build into the Thames.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have your rivers. Yeah. I'll have your water supply.
Should have built a big Monty Burns type thing over the sun.
But it was a great win for Forest. Well done to them. Yes, before we move on from the Football League, Bury and Bolton, just a little mention for them. You know, we're aware of that, of course. I mean, they're a pretty desperate situation. So, yeah, they've got until 5 o'clock on Tuesday evening to complete a sale or confirm credible plans. I mean,
It's looking slightly brighter for Bolton, but Bury are pretty much done.
It's not looking brighter for them on the pitch. I mean, they got battered at the weekend.
They're playing like under 17s, aren't they? Like, just ridiculous.
I mean, we've talked about this in the past. I think, sadly, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but I think we've mentioned on this show that it's going to have to take a proud old institution to go out of business and no longer exist.
Of which they both are.
Yeah, for something to be done about this. And when I mean something to be done about it, you've got to have some kind of independent regulator come in and work out what the process is and why it's not working properly for these things to happen. I mean,
you've got teams, though, that are paying 99% of their income out in wages. That's just untenable for the for the promise of that big windfall when you get into certainly the Premier League. But you've got teams in the lower end of the Championship, so it's just being run so shoddily anyway.
Well, what I would ask, though, I'm not an expert on this at all, but one thing I would ask, and maybe people listening can answer, or you guys might know, I don't know, but if, for example, I'm not accusing anyone of anything in particular, but say, as an example, an owner comes in, takes a football club that's been around for 100-odd years, runs it into the ground, and it goes out of business. Why are they not facing criminal prosecution?
Because I guess the tests that come in, I mean, what, you know, owning a company, you can own it with some pretty dodgy, I mean, most of these clubs are bought with loans. I mean, they're not bought with actual funds that actually exist, with some pretty hefty repayment plans included and stuff.
But they are,
that's the easy solution for me.
But the ultimate responsibility should lie with the people involved, right?
Yeah, usually.
It's not illegal to fail, though, is it? Is the issue there? It's not ideal.
I think it just needs to be greater protection. I think there needs to be independent regulation around how these clubs are bought. Because the thing that really, I mean, it's not.
It's all on the leagues, though, isn't it? Like the FA just went, let the leagues handle it. Nothing to do with us. That seems to be the.
But there needs to be an understanding that a team like Bury, who aren't the most glamorous team in the world, but they are. They're more than just like a name on a screen. When you see Soccer Saturday and you see them winning or losing and whatever, to be perfectly frank, I've never been to Bury. I've never been to watch them. And to me, they are a team that just pop up on Soccer Saturday. They're not that good. You don't know much about them, but they are a team.
Of course,
and they are important to a lot of people. And they're more than just a name on a screen and a result on a Saturday.
Yes,
they're a huge part of a community. And I think there's a bit of cognitive dissonance between football fans and that kind of stuff. But because of the rivalries we see, because people who like football don't understand that we've got more in common than we have not in common. Mm-hmm. And maybe there needs to be a little bit more support.
But I think sometimes that clubs trade off that as well. You know, there's only a few teams that actually pay a living wage. You can say that you're part of a community, but what are you actually giving back to that community? So I think fundamentally there needs to be some bros to come in on that side of things.
But that's not relevant to this subject.
If you're going to trade off the back of being a community club and being part of a town, then you need to give a little bit back as well. And that also needs to be a rule that comes down from above as well.
Well, but what I mean is that when I say it's a part of a community, I mean it means an awful lot to the people and of the community. I don't mean about their relationship from the club to the fans, because clubs fuck over fans all the time at every level.
Yeah,
but the fans still love them.
Yeah, it's not a fact. I'm saying that if you're a community club and you are trading off the back of being a big part of the community, there needs to be some rules in play, not just about the financial regulations on how you own the club, but also how you treat staff who are obviously people from the city or the town that they're from going to work for their football club. So it needs to work both ways, I think.
Yeah, clearly something needs to change.
But that's not, obviously that's not on that point of Bury and Bolton going to the fucking wall, is it?
Yeah, no. Well, we sincerely hope so, that very soon that whole thing gets sorted out, because, oh my God.
But the guy who runs Bury at the moment, Steve Dow, he's an absolute embarrassment.
Anyway. Joker.
Yeah.
Anyway,
should we lighten the mood?
Yeah, let's have something a little bit more lighter.
You've heard of Keith playing for Keith?
Yes.
Yeah,
you
know about that, don't you? I found out at the weekend that there was a player playing for Hamilton who got sent off. Bless him, he's only 17. I think probably on his debut, Jamie Hamilton, playing for Hamilton.
Nice.
It's all the rage up in Scotland.
He wants to be on the pitch where it's happening.
Speaking of regulations,
I want a first name though, I want Hamilton.
Yeah, that would be better. Yeah.
Hamilton Rickard.
I think,
get him in there.
Hamilton Redcard.
I think every team every team in Scotland should have a player playing for them who's the same name as them. So, I mean, at the moment we've only got Keith, Jeremy Hamilton at Hamilton, and Johnny Rangers at Rangers. So.
Yeah.
Did you see? Can we get a little take on Antoine Griezmann's celebration with glitter?
What was that all about?
Somebody gave him a lot of glitter when he scored, and he threw it up in the air. I think it's a basketball. No, somebody gave.
Handed it to him.
Yeah.
It's very camp.
Is it?
It's like a sort of thing you'd expect to see at the West End Theatre.
I think it's like an NBA player.
He's like the Tory Night King, isn't he?
He's like the Tory Night King. I said on Twitter that I'm a big fan of talking about football technologies. Obviously, if you're watching on a very low bandwidth stream, glitter or confetti really messes with the stream because of the way that codecs work.
Antoine Griezmann is not thinking about people illegally watching that football match, is he?
Legally as well, Marcus Speller.
Yeah, exactly.
Have some respect for some of us who have limited bandwidth in our homes.
Fair enough.
15 megabits download and upload.
Yeah, you're only in central London, aren't you?
I know, well, it can't be helped, can
How much
it?
Does it cost you a month?
It can be helped.
£300.
£300 a month he pays.
What?
For a business line.
Yeah.
Wow.
My giddy aunt.
Marcus and himself.
You can't even see glitter properly.
I can't even see glitter properly.
Glitter's also terrible for the environment, isn't it?
So yeah.
Stop throwing it around, everyone.
Is that right?
So I went to prison.
Plastic is terrible for the environment as well. Every piece of plastic that's ever been invented still exists. Maybe think about that.
Mm. Nice.
That is quite weird, isn't it? Maybe Griezmann should just throw plastic bottles in the air and go, yeah, I only used them once.
Yeah,
screw the future.
Well, this has gone really dark again, hasn't it?
Indeed it is. Mm. Talking about bandwidth, Peter.
What?
Let's go back to Stevie Bruce.
Oh yeah, he was spotted on the touchline, wasn't he, watching the cricket?
He
loves the cricket.
Five minutes left at Spurs. Hang on, Stokes, he's still in bat.
There was a picture of Steve, or a little bit of footage of Steve Bruce watching the cricket before the game.
Yeah.
And at the time I was thinking, this is going to come back and bite. If you're going to complain about people not saying you can take a warm-up properly, and you're seen watching the cricket half hour before kickoff,
Newcastle are going to get beaten. England are going to lose the third test against Australia. Tell you what, thanks to Brucey.
What a power move it now looks, though.
Don't need a warm-up.
Just going to watch the cricket to warm-up.
Yeah, you like that.
Oh, he said it took over the dressing room for half an hour. Not even focused on the football. Yeah. Still
you know, before that, he said, big congratulations to the cricket. Sorry. Big congratulations on the cricket. Just cricket.
It was
general.
A big moment for the sport generally. So
just cricket.
Yeah. Cricket was the winner.
Joel Linton sat there going, what is going on?
I fear we are three games in as Steve Bruce is already wearing his hat too far on the
side. Love it. To be fair with that cricket match, Peter.
It was amazing.
Not when you're preparing for a match against a European
Marcus. I couldn't be bothered about the football when that cricket game was going. And Brucey, look, he's just a fellow Englishman.
You just like the England part of it.
Would it have gone too far
if
Joel Linton came onto the
pitch?
You
know what you do.
What are you doing?
He only likes cricket because of England.
Only like cricket because of England. England participate in most other sports.
Carry on, Luke. If Joe Linton came into the dressing room and what?
Would it have been too far if Joe Linton came onto the pitch after the team talk dressing a cricket pad? And he got confused.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think any of the Spurs defence could have caught with a googly. Do they still do googlies in cricket?
Probably.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? I can explain if you want. A googly is just a ball that goes the other way as expected.
Right. Yeah. Different to a Yorkie.
Occasionally called a wrongen.
A wrongen?
Yeah, really?
You're a wrongen, mate.
And in India, they call it a doosra.
Is that right?
A doosra.
Yeah. But we can all agree. Pizza full toss. All right.
I'll take that. I don't mind.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Luke Moore, it's been a pleasure.
I got a load of tweets to my tweet about the cricket replying saying, announce cricket ramble.
Damn right. Peter, thank you very much. Jim, lovely to have you back.
Lovely to be back.
Bye. Excellent.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.